This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass, Paul on panel, Fiona on social media. We are in the middle of Radiothon, and we actually put together, I asked a number of supporters of Joy and to give us, you know, to do a little video for us on why independent media was so important. And, you know, one of the first people who responded was Senator Kimberly Kitching. And she did a rather gorgeous video. Good morning, Kimberly. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Macca? How are you, folks?
Good morning. Great to have you on the airwaves.
And, look, I want to thank you for that. It is actually unusual for people that are in the public eye to do video messages that support different causes. So there was yourself, a colleague of yours in the Senate, Dean Smith, Josh Burns, Michael Kroger, Matthew Guy, Tim Wilson, Graham Ashton, Chief Commissioner of Victoria Police, Neil Mitchell, 3RW, Adele Ferguson, Paul Zara, a whole group of people. So thank you to all of you for doing that.
Could I say, Macca, that I think people involved in public life and in public service, I think, and or in civil society, are very aware of how important there is to have a complexity, but also a variety of voices in civil society. And I think what Joy does is it provides, it is an important voice in our civil society, and I think we need more, not less of that.
And you know, not everyone wants to hear my dulcet tones, though, Kimberly. I can't imagine why.
Now, Kimberly,
I can't imagine why either.
Kimberly, it's Tass here. We've just had a Victorian opposition MP on the airwaves, and we did ask her, and I'd like to ask you the same question. What's keeping you busy at the moment? What are the things that are actually keeping you busy in this environment where Parliament's not sitting as it usually is, and, you know, we've got a pandemic on our hands and people are behaving and reacting in different ways? What are the things that are keeping you occupied at the moment?
I think that all federal MPs, whether in the reps or in the Senate, have had an increased influx of calls and questions. So, for example, how some of the stimulus packages work, but also people who are very anxious about, you know, when, how they're going to survive, how they're going to actually make connection with government departments. So we, in my electorate office, we have been putting people in touch, you know, taking down their facts, putting people in touch with some of the government agencies and trying to help people to do that in a sort of a streamlined way. Obviously, there are a lot of people affected by the coronavirus pandemic, but also they're affected in a way of, you know, being anxious about knowing how to go forward and how do they access some of the services that are being provided. And I think also, can I say, I think there's a lot of loneliness. And I think we have to remember that. I think that's why this morning was great in some of the streets around Melbourne, where, you know, whole streets came out at dawn to commemorate Anzac Day. And I think there is a community feel around doing activities like that. We might not be able to do things in the way that we have done and we're used to doing, but I think that there is ways forward at the moment to make people feel like they're still part of a community. But I would say that there's a certain level, you know, there's a certain number of people who are dealing with loneliness and mental health issues.
And can I ask, Kimberly, one of the challenges here is because people can't go out, and look, I think the centre of a lot of people's attention has been there's been a huge number of people that have never before really engaged with Centrelink, and of course the problems that's created. And just so our listeners know, we have asked Centrelink Hank Yongan actually to come on and have a chat to us,
and they agreed to come on, Mac,
and they agreed
this week.
Not this week. He's probably sending out some letters, but you know that. What you're doing in your office, and, you know, I understand this. I know that how important that is, you know, for people that are getting frustrated and not being able to access or get the answers, or they're confused. So that's really good. I just want to change tack quickly, Kimberly. We actually had a question from a listener. It was on Tass and my lists. Have you read the Turnbull book? And I know that if you'd got an illegal copy, you would have deleted it. Have you bought it? And if you haven't, are you going to, and are you going to read it to put you to sleep at night, or to keep you awake to keep you awake at night, perhaps?
I did purchase on Monday. I did purchase a copy of A Bigger Picture, and I think, I mean, I read a variety of political biographies and autobiographies and memoirs. I think they're fascinating. I think you learn so much from different, and I don't mean just in this era, I mean across, you know, for centuries really, or millennia, you learn so much from people, how they've responded to different crises or different problems that have eventuated in their own time, and how they've dealt with things. And some things are very temporal, so there are contemporaneous problems which we might not face. But there are lots of problems across, since we've had written records that are the same, because human nature in some ways has not changed very much. I did buy it. I think it is, you certainly wouldn't want to be thinking that your text messages or your WhatsApp messages to Malcolm Turnbull might remain private. And I think that that's unfortunate that he's used that. And, of course, I think also there's obviously rules around the confidentiality of certain discussions that occur at Cabinet. It would appear that that confidentiality hasn't always been respected by Malcolm Turnbull, because, in fact, he goes through some of those discussions in the book.
I was actually going to ask you, Kimberly, I mean, do you think anything will change as a result of this memoir? Do you think people will actually learn some lessons from this, or is this just another dummy spit, so to speak?
I think there's a level of vindictiveness, and I think there's an anger that is quite palpable in the book, and I find it interesting, and I thought his interview on earlier in the week with Lee Sales.
I thought it was a train. I thought it was a train wreck.
I thought it was delusional, in fact, and I found myself wondering whether, it's actually possible for someone to write a memoir and not have moments of deep self-reflection. Mm. And therefore reach conclusions that perhaps you were the problem in some instances.
Surely not, Kimberly. Malcolm. I mean...
So I was quite surprised by that interview, because I thought he was... It was delusional, and I thought quite... There was something quite... it was quite disturbing in some ways. And I think also, when... you look at the his behaviour, what he decided to comment on over the last, you know, year or so, I think that's interesting. I think quite disturbing, I would say, for, you know, not for his colleagues, his former colleagues, certainly. And to sort of to say that people you know well, or that, you know, the party you have led didn't deserve to win an election, I think is also another interesting statement from a former leader of that party.
Yeah.
And I think quite, the level of, it's loyal, I think, to do that. So, I don't know what he goes on to do from here. He's gone, I think, gone back into business. And
yeah.
I think, though, that he'll be a lonely and bitter sort of, you know, ghost, miserable ghost, is sort of, you know, looking out of point five.
He did ask the PM to put him on the board of Snowy. He did ask the PM to put him on the board of Snowy, and I think he got a flat no. Kimberly, we need to take a
break. I actually think what they'd like to do is put him at the top of Snowy too and let him go down.
Slide down.
I actually think, you know, we've seen conversions on the road to Damascus. I think this is delusions on the way to the lodge.
We need to take a short break.
No, delusions on the way to the lodge. We're going to be back in a sec.
Before we take a short break, I just want to say thank you to Zora from Heidelberg, Andrew from New Farm in Queensland, and Sean from St Kilda. Each have made a donation
fantastic
to Joy this morning.
Money.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for supporting Joy Radio. And, of course, it's very easy to support Joy. Just become a member or set up a monthly subscription or a daily subscription if you want. Make a donation. It's very easy. Just jump online to joy.org.au.
Keep independent voices on air. Support Joy Radiothon 2020. We are you. Donate, subscribe, join up at joy.org.au.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. And we currently have Senator Kimberly Kitching, Victorian Senator, Labor Senator, on the airwaves.
Now, Kimberly, you had another observation you wanted to make about
Malcolm. I do want to say that I think you said at the top of the program that, you know, that you've got a guest coming in today, with all female guests.
Yes.
And I think that's fantastic. But I think, and, you know, I think you read out that someone said, oh, you know, why are you sort of saying, commenting on this? It's unusual. But, of course, in Malcolm Turnbull's book, he makes a smear, an allegation about the chief of staff of a former prime minister, and it sort of implies that really, well, he implies that they've had sort of a, he does it in a,
that they were
with a clever lawyer sort of twist, you know, that would be the most unremarkable part of their relationship, I think. But the thing is that it also makes it difficult for, you know, anyone to accept that women and men are able to work together.
Yeah.
And so even though he has been glorified as this sort of woke, latter-day sun king, that is not what he was, because otherwise he would never have made that observation in his book.
I like that. A woke latter-day sun king.
let's change topics, Matt.
Yeah, let's
move on to what's occurring at the moment.
Yeah, let's talk about things that matter.
Kimberly, we're very interested in some of the comments that the opposition have made, federal opposition, about keeping government to account for some of the decisions and policies that it's making in the management of this pandemic. What are your thoughts about that? What views do you have?
I think it's incredibly important for all governments to be held to account. And I think one of the ways that the Senate has done that is to have the COVID-19 Oversight Committee, and which is being chaired by the Shadow Finance Minister. And I think that will be an important committee. I think the fact that the government has agreed that whenever there's an expenditure by the finance minister of over $1 billion, that be detailed on the Friday of every week where such expenditure is made. And the reason I think that's important is because we are in, it's a cliche to say we're in unprecedented times, but the level of expenditure by the federal government is very significant, incredibly significant. And I think that you know, it's all taxpayers' money at the end of the day. This is what is being spent is taxpayers' money, and therefore it deserves to have a level of accountability around it always, but particularly where you're spending in a year where the budget has been delayed until October as well. Because remember, the budget would have been in May. We would have had 2 weeks of Senate estimates to look at the budget, but we won't have that until the next financial year in October, so October later this year. And I think it's important that there is accountability around that expenditure, but also around the responses in terms of the health responses that we've had and how society is functioning. And I think that all of those aspects of this pandemic do need to be looked at.
So if you were Prime Minister, Kimberly, what would you do differently?
I think that the agreement, there has been a lot of bipartisanship around the expenditure. We did put some amendments up around casual workers, for example, and I'm aware of casual teachers who have been teaching but who aren't eligible for any of the JobKeeper package, for example. But I think that if I was Prime Minister, I think that we, which is a very interesting question, I'm in the wrong house, but I think that...
Well, don't forget,
we know that.
Don't forget, John Gorton was Prime Minister for a period when he was still a senator.
Well, that's very true. So anyway, I'll put that to my colleagues and see how I go. But I think that that level of scrutiny, that level of transparency and openness, we will need that going forward. And obviously, I think there will be different views about how we recover. And I think that's when partisan politics tends to come back into the frame. But I think what the Prime Minister will need to do is actually keep on having these discussions, the openness that's been apparent through the National Cabinet. I think that has been very valuable, and I think people have really appreciated that. It's certainly something that comes through in the conversations I have with constituents, with people who phone my electorate office. So I think we are going to need that level of openness going forward, because otherwise I think we may not respond as well, because we're going to have a different response economically going forward.
Now, speaking about transparency and openness, Kimberly, the tracing app that the government has proposed, lots of discussion about, lots of backtracking in my mind. First, the server's in Australia, then it's going to be stored by Amazon, and, the law enforcement won't get to look at it. Peter Dutton's straining at the bit. Australian border fast, I'd love to get their hands on it. Right. Should Australia... are you concerned? Are there enough safeguards? And will you be downloading it?
Look, I think what the government has come back with, I think we'll see in the next sitting week, which is scheduled to be around the 12th of May. I think the government has backtracked on pieces of this tracking app. Of course, you need a certain percentage of it to be effective, and I think there was discussion around 40% was a good, but I mean, you've still got 60% of the population who haven't downloaded it. Therefore, does it become, the smaller the percentage of people who download it, the less effective it's going to be. So I think that they do need to reassure Australians that this isn't going to be used for any other purpose. And I think there has been movement around that. I think there has been a lot of, it's been a bit wobbly. The response.
Are you
going to download it?
Are you going to download it, Kimberly?
If there's the certainty around it, I think it is a good device to enable the tracking of a pandemic. And I am community minded, and I would hate to think that maybe I've been somewhere and then I'm not able to tell, you know, someone who's, I don't know, at the bread shop, for example, that, you know, there's less certainty around where I have been.
Kimberly, it's great to hear that, because I think it's just another technology supporting way in which we go about our practice. So it's great to hear that there is some support for it. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I can't believe how quickly it goes.
You talk too much.
Whenever you're on air, time just disappears. But look, thank you again very much for making yourself so available this morning.
And I've got to say, Kimberly's office, I know, because Kimberly's office is actually not far from where I live. And I know that her office is doing an incredible amount of work in the local area. And I want to call out to your staff, Kimberly, who are really doing a fantastic job.
I'm very lucky to have. They're lovely people. I'm very lucky.
Thank you very much, Kimberly. Thank you very much.
Hi, it's Adele Ferguson here. We all know how important independent journalism is. That's why we need to support Joy and make sure it remains independent and on air. So why don't you join me and donate to this really important fundraiser?
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.